How committed are you to the basics? Well, let's find out today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. We're beginning a new study today called Back to the Basics. Every now and then we need to be reminded of those things that are basic to the Christian life. Well, today we're going to learn about prayer and Bible study. Well, with your Bibles ready, let's study the Word of God together as we go back to the basics.
This morning, I want to focus your attention on what many have called the basics of Christianity. And I realize that for many, what I will talk about this morning is basic. But for others, it might not be. And as we look to another year, there will always be things that we will need to recall. And the content of this message is certainly one of them. There are four duties that we must constantly keep at hand. And this morning, I want to look at just two of them. If we never neglect them, they will preserve us. The first is prayer. Now, we've said much in the past about prayer, and that's why I mention it now. Prayer should never be kept in the past, but in the present. And I want us to notice a few truths about prayer, because the Bible is filled with this principle. Look with me over at Philippians chapter 4. And there are at least three truths that are found there in chapter 4 and verse 6. We get wearied and we get anxious and we're told to pray. In the bad times as well as in the good times. And that covers everything, certainly. Paul says there, "Be anxious for nothing." That is, do not worry about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." There are at least three truths that are found there, and I'm sure that there are actually more than that. The three that I want to point out, and the first is simply this, and you know this from our past studies, that we are commanded to pray, but notice what he says there, to pray in everything. Be anxious for nothing. The idea of being anxious means worrying. He says, stop worrying and start praying. In everything, he says. And it is so easy to pray when things are tough. But when things are good, are we still fervent in prayer? Are we still committed to the task? It's certainly a hard work because it's selfless. To pray constantly, to pray in everything, is selfless. And Paul says there, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. We need to make our petitions to the Lord. We need to make our supplications to the Lord. We need to do it in everything that we experience, everything that we face. And next year will be no different than this year. Hopefully, in our walk and in our growth and in our relationship with Jesus, that some of the things that we experience this year may not be repeated next year. But I will probably say this, and I say probably because I never know what I'm saying until I do it. It will be tougher. Because the Bible teaches us that God will not give you any more than you can bear. But He will, with that trial, provide a way of escape. And I'm thinking of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. He will always provide a way of escape. And the way of escape is through the trial. A lot of times we pray, God, get me out of this situation. And the way out is through it. Because through it, your faith will be strengthened. You will build endurance in your life. So when I say that it will get worse, it will be more intense. Because from each trial that you go through, you are prepared for the next if you have built endurance. Now, if you haven't built that endurance, you haven't done what James says, to let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, guess what? You're most likely going to go through not necessarily the same trial, but the same intensity of that trial again. And once you learn that, and once you go through that, the next may be more intense. Because see, you have a level now of endurance. You have a level there of tolerance, if I could use that word. And when he says here that in everything we are to pray, and we are to do it with supplication, and we're not to be anxious for anything, that is a Scripture-wide principle. A Scripture-wide truth. But notice what else he says in the verse. He says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. And then we see this, with thanksgiving. Now again, it is so easy to pray in tough circumstances, but is it easy to be thankful in them? Is it easy to say, Lord, thank you for this trial? My elevator is reaching the top floor right now. I just want you to know that. Because we think of stuff like that, and we hear stuff like that, and we think that that is ludicrous. How can I be thankful in something that makes me miserable? How could I be thankful this weekend being with people that I didn't want to be with? Well, maybe they didn't want to be with you either. And why should you be miserable? Especially if you know Jesus. It was all about Him, not about them. Not about you. Jesus is more than the reason for the season. He's the reason, period. He's the reason for living. And sometimes we adopt an attitude when we're in bad situations or around people that we don't want to be around, and we're just miserable. Why can't we be thankful? Why can't we enjoy it? All things have come from Him. All good and perfect gifts come from the Father above. So why can't we be thankful? Why can't we just say, Lord, thank you? Will you say this person, that person that I'm with right now? He gives a third one there. He says that, let your request be made known to God. So he starts out by saying, don't be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, as if to lay out the general principle. And then he says, do it with thanksgiving, and then let your request be made known unto God. Now let me say this. Is this the only way that God wants you to come to Him? Well, I read through the Psalms and I see David pouring his heart out. I see David angry. I see David discouraged. I see David mad. But you know, as he's pouring his heart out to the Lord, it's like halfway through the psalm, you're hearing all this, and you're feeling His passion, you're feeling His intensity, but as he gets halfway through it, he's all focused on God now. And he's praising God, and he's thanking God, and it's as if he's just forgot about the situations he's in. Forgot about the fact he's running from Saul. Spent 12 years of his life doing that. God promised to make him king, and it hasn't happened yet. He had the attitude. And Paul picks up this attitude right here. And what's so interesting about this, he says all of this right after he says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord, and I encourage you, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. With Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, there are two ladies here in the church that you need to undergird. You need to help them. They've labored with me in the gospel. Help them to be unified. Maybe it was two women, and I mean, they were having trouble. Apparently, it was enough trouble there for it to be mentioned. And it was enough to destroy unity in the fellowship. And so he says, help them. And then he moves on. Rejoice. Be anxious for nothing. Do everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And listen, when you do all of that, notice verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your minds, your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's the real you. That's the total you, heart and mind. He will guard you. His peace will overflow to you. That's some wonderful truth right there. And when I think about the basics, listen, this is basic. Prayer is basic, but it's hard work. I mean, listen to some of the other things the Scripture says. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're commanded to pray always. All the time. Pray without ceasing, he says. And if you remember as we were going through that, the without ceasing occurs at the beginning of the verse, and it says, without ceasing, pray. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Do it all the time. And then 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, we're commanded to pray everywhere. He says, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So we see as we are commanded to pray, it's to be in everything, with thanksgiving, with request. It's to be always. It is to be everywhere. We are to pray everywhere. It's precious watching kids pray. This morning, Chip and I and Natalie, we were in there with Teresa's class and praying with kids. Actually, they were praying with us. And it was precious because I was just sitting there listening and the Lord loves that. That is the attitude we are to have. Unless you be converted like a little child, he says. We are to have that childlike dependency. They're so dependent on us. They trust us. And that's the way we're to come to our Heavenly Father, just pouring out our heart. That little Tegan's going to be a prayer warrior. She was praying about everything. And I praise the Lord for that. Because, see, the Lord is interested in your heart. He's not interested in your practice. He's interested in the attitude of your heart. We are commanded to pray with the heart. Psalm 119, verse 58. David said, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. He says, be merciful to me according to your word. I've given you all my heart. Have you sought the Lord with all your heart? When you have, you will know you did. Because it will be hard work. You will literally be worn out. You know, I always hear about, you know, these great men of faith in history that prayed so much and for so long and very fervent prayers. And we hear about people like E.M. Bounds, and I've read some of his books, and very good books on prayer. And then you hear about these guys, and you hear about some in tradition to where the same spot they prayed in, the floor was kind of worn out in those spots because that's where they knelt to pray. And you hear that and you go, man, can I ever be like that? Don't worry about being like that. Just be you. Amen. Just be who that God is making you to be. And commit yourself to these principles. If you've never committed yourself to prayer, I want to encourage you to do that today. As Chip was saying earlier about New Year's resolutions, let's capture those kinds of resolutions that are actually for our edification, for being built up in the faith, for building up one another in the body. And let's focus in on things like this basic principle of prayer. And let's pray in everything and with thanksgiving, with request, always, all the heart, so that God has the right kind of attitude coming from us. There's another one that's found over in Genesis chapter 18. Abraham is there sitting in his temple. He's sitting there in his tent. And it was very hot. And all of a sudden, the Lord appears. And with Him appear, as we read, two angels. Because in chapter 19, we see the purpose of their arrival. The Lord tells Abraham what He is about to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. I was reading yesterday how that the government, the federal government, has issued a letter to every public school in the United States to start teaching about homosexuality and lesbianism so that you can dumb down the homophobia. And here, in Genesis 19, we see the sin of sodomy, homosexuality, all of this. And God is destroying the city because of it. And here, as Abraham is talking to the Lord, Abraham asked a question. It says there in verse 22, "Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, 'Would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far it be from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?' And the Lord said, 'If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes.' Then Abraham answered and said, 'Indeed, now I am but dust and ashes. Have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord.'" Now I want to just stop for a minute before I read on, because there's a very important principle right here on how we're to pray. We're commanded to pray with humility. This is humility right here. As he's talking to the Lord and he's saying there, "Listen, I am nothing but dust and ashes that I should even speak to you." And he goes on, "Suppose there were 5 less than the 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, "If I find there 45, I will not destroy it." And it goes all the way down to 10. Well, the Lord did destroy the city because there were none there but Lot and his family. And Lot was so vexed with the unrighteousness there that the angel actually had to snatch him out of there because of the wickedness was so great. But again, I don't want to necessarily focus on that story, but what I do want to focus on is the attitude that Abraham had as he's there talking to the Lord. He was very humble in his approach. He was very humble in his attitude. This kind of goes with the heart. Because as you talk to the Lord, you certainly don't want to talk there with pride. I remember some churches that I went in before, went to go hear somebody speak or something, and it was the wrong kind of church to be in to begin with, because it was kind of a charismatic persuasion. And I stood there for a minute because we had some people that were in our life that was going and hearing this guy speak. And we said, "Listen, okay, we'll go hear him because there's some things that are questionable about what he says." And so we were in there, and before he even could speak, the people were just making all kinds of demands of the Lord. And I was just starting to find me a place to duck because I thought lightning strikes were going to start happening, you know? And finally, I just didn't take it anymore. As if God was some type of supernatural genie that you could just win him around at every wish that you have. There was no humility. And I didn't know what to do but just get out. I'm not sure that we really understand humility. And why I say that is because if you notice that the trials that we go through, they're there to humble you. And when you go through those trials, that if it's going on and on and on and you're not getting the message and you're not letting endurance have its perfect work, then you're not being humbled by it. You're still in pride. That has to always be stripped away. That is a foe all the time to our walk, is pride. And as the Scripture says, pride comes right before the fall. And the fall does come, believe me. Roller skates and all. Look at Psalm 145, verse 18. We are commanded to pray with truth. We're commanded to pray with truth. It says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." What's that mean? Well, I believe what that is referring to is your sincerity. You're being honest. It doesn't make sense lying to the Lord, does it? It doesn't make sense lying to anybody. I mean, but first of all, the Lord? You think you can get away with that? I mean, you think that He doesn't know you're lying? I mean, you might try to pull that over on somebody else, but you know how it goes. You tell one, you got to tell three to get out of the one you told. I was kind of cutting up with some of the kids last night at Teresa's family's house.
And one of them said something to me, and it just kind of floored me. She's like, "You're lying." I'm going, "No, I'm not. I am kidding with you, but I am not lying. You know I'm kidding with you. This isn't for real. I'm messing with you. Do I have to tell you that?" There is something there about lying that, as you're seeking to seek the Lord, you've got to understand that is something that He hates. And so when you pray, be open, be honest, be truthful. Listen to what it says in Proverbs 6:16. "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue." Two things we've already covered. A proud look and a lying tongue. Well, the last one I want you to see here in this basic understanding of prayer is found in Ephesians chapter 6. Just after Paul is talking about the armor of God and taking up that offensive weapon in verse 17, which is the Word of God that we talked about Wednesday night, you don't end it there, because he says in verse 18, "praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." We are commanded to pray in the Spirit. And he goes on to say, "being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." It's to be done in the Spirit. It's to be done in total dependency on Him. I mean, isn't it what it says over there in Romans 8, that He helps us in our infirmities because we don't know how to pray as we ought? The Holy Spirit helps us. So let's depend on Him. Let's lean on Him. And by the way, you can't do anything that I've just talked about without this last one. Because you can do all these other things in the flesh. You can pray about everything in the flesh. You certainly can't pray with thanksgiving. You can make it sound like you're thankful, but the Lord knows your heart. To others it might sound like you're thankful, but you're seething inside. And you can seek to make your request, but they could be like James chapter 4. You ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own lust. And again, you can seek to do it always, but it may come back always in the flesh. And you could do that everywhere in the flesh. And you could even think you're doing it with all your heart, but your heart is desperately wicked. In the flesh, it's hard to be humble, but you can also fake that too. And what about sincerity? You can fake that as well. You need the Spirit in order to do this with all your heart in humility and to do it in sincerity. Then you will do it everywhere. You'll do it with thanksgiving. You'll do it with request. You'll do it always. Now, this is very basic. This is something that we will always talk about because we always need to go back to these basics. But let me say this. If you're not praying and you're not doing this, you are skipping the basics. It's like the will of God. If you're not obeying what is so evident, then don't think that He's going to reveal something else. You're not obeying what He's already revealed. So that's the first basic. Let me point out the second basic, and that's Bible study. There are three things I want to focus on Bible study. If you want a fuller treatment of this, we do have a study called How to Study the Bible. It has a CD that goes with it with 10 MP3 messages on it. I started to come in here and show you what a vinyl album looked like, but it'll come. It'll come. The first is read the Bible. Again, very basic. Read the Bible. But you would be surprised at how many people neglect that. The Bible goes up on the shelf during the week. Or sometimes the Bible doesn't even come in with the person. I was so amazed. In many of the churches that I've been in, we come to study the Bible and people don't bring the Bible. Well, what do we study? You got it on the palms of your hands? You know what passage I'm going to be in? I only use no less than 50 or 60 passages. I don't know how many I use. I don't plan for whatever amount. But when we're studying the Bible, we're studying the Bible. And you need your Bible. And you should bring it. Every time the Word is talked about, bring it. Because we're going to study it. We're going to talk about it. You come in Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, bring your Bible. And if they're talking about something else but without the Bible and you feel like you don't need the Bible, then come and tell us so that we know. But we need to read it. And there's a question that's being answered as you read the Bible, and it's simply this: what does the Bible say? If you read the Bible all your life, every day, you would at least know what the Bible says, and you'd sound like a scholar. If somebody would ask you, where is such and such in the Bible? And you'd say, it's right over here. Left side of the page, halfway down. Because you have that familiarity, because you're reading the same Bible every day. And we do get that familiarity. I find verses all the time because of the familiarity of my Bible. Don't take my Bible. Or I walked in here one night when Chip was preaching and I brought a different version. And because he uses the New American Standard Bible, and I brought one with me. I was all over the place. Somebody asked me a question afterward. I go, I don't know. It's somewhere in here. I haven't done that anymore. But I want you to hear something here. Charles Spurgeon, I was reading one of his messages the other day, and it was on how to read the Bible. And listen to what he says. He says, how often do we open the sacred book and read a chapter through, perhaps at family prayer or perhaps in our own private devotions, and having read from the first verse to the last, we shut up the book, thinking we have done something very right and very proper and in a vague way somehow profitable to us. Very right and very proper indeed. And yet, right and proper as the thing is, we may really have gained nothing thereby. You understand what he's saying? You could be doing the right thing and not be getting anything out of it. He says, we may in fact have only drilled ourselves in the merely external part of religion. We may not have enjoyed anything spiritual or anything that can be beneficial to our souls if we have forgotten the divine spirit through whom the Word has come to us.
Bible study and prayer, two very important features of every believer's life. You've been listening today to Back to the Basics, Prayer and Bible Study. This message is available today on cassette tape for $3 or on CD for $5. And we would like to make that available to you by asking you to call us today at 904-651-3351. Or you can place your order on our website at www.changebygrace.org. If you prefer ordering by mail, then you can send your check or money order to Change by Grace, P.O. Box 26041, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Change by Grace is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church. We're located at 49 North Boland Street in Jacksonville, Southside. For a time of our services, call us at 904-651-3351. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you for listening today. And I hope you join us again next time as we go back to the basics.